And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. When the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague is in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab be spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head, even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider. Behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed into white, he shall come into the priest. And the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof, was a boil and is healed, and the place of the boil there be a white rising, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest, and if, when the priest seeth it, behold, it is in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or a woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scald, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the scald, and behold, it be not in sight, deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the scald 7 days. Then the seventh day the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the scald spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the scald be not in sight deeper than the skin, He shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave, and the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull 7 days more. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair, he is unclean. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, and that there is a black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. Now, these next verses are some of the very precious and dear to me, if you read them with me. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he's bald, yet he's clean. That's encouraging to my heart. And he that hath his hair fallen from off part of his head toward his face, he's forehead bald, but yet he's clean. Thank God for that. And if there be in the bald head or the bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head, or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp of the woof, of linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is. For it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof or in any thing of the skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. And if the priest shall look on the plague after that it was washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed its color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire. It is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it, then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, or in anything of the skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or anything of the skins, to pronounce it clean, or to pronounce it unclean. May the Lord bless the reading of all those words. My goodness. Now, obviously, we cannot cover everything is there, but the general theme is quite obvious to all of us. It's dealing with the curse of leprosy. Next time, in chapter 14, we'll deal with dealing with the cleansing of leprosy or the cure of leprosy. Now, we talked about a uncleanness due to childbirth last time. We talked about that contamination or that transmission of sin that took place when a woman has a child, in passing on the contamination of sin, inherent sin that's born in every one of us when we enter into this world. Well, that which is born within us is obviously going to break out, and so moving from the transmission of sin, we see now revealed in us, in the picture of leprosy, the traits of sin. For leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. It is a picture of sin. In Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet gives a description of the nation Israel. We've read this, I believe, before several times. If you'll listen, he relates their sinfulness to a sick or a leprous body full of sores. In chapter 1 of Isaiah and verse 4, he says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." My word, what an indictment. There's about a five-point message right there in that one verse. Verse 5, "Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more." Now look, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Jeremiah uses the same type language when he preaches to the prophets of his day when he says, "Yea, they have healed the wound of the daughter of my people slightly," and saying, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace." And so in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, leprosy is a very graphic picture of sin. Now, the word leprosy, the Hebrew word, which is somewhat hard to pronounce, is translated by the Greek word in the Septuagint of the Old Testament, lepros, from which obviously we get the word leper, and it means to strike something. And so the thought in the mind of the Israeli was this, that when somebody contacted this disease of leprosy, they had been stricken by God. They had been stricken by God. Now we see the same language in Isaiah 53 in verse number 4, where he says there that we esteemed him not. We esteemed him stricken, he says, smitten of God. Now that's the same language from which this word leprosy comes from. And so the Bible tells us that he bore our sins, our griefs, our sorrows. He took our iniquities upon him. And so the picture in Isaiah 53 is of one who is clean, taking upon him the uncleanness of leprosy in order that he might heal them. Amen. So the Bible says, "By his stripes," in Isaiah 53, "we are healed." And so, the concept was this. One who had leprosy obviously was smitten by God, as though God would not accept them or was angry with them. Now, we see several examples of that in the Bible. The next book we're going to study is the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, we're going to find that Aaron and Miriam kind of get upset with Moses because he's doing all the preaching and all the leading. And so they say, "Hey, you know, we can preach just as good as you. And so, you know, we need to have a little more authority around this place." And before the words hardly got out of their mouth, Miriam broke out in leprosy all over. And of course, immediately she was cast out. Now, many people take this, if you read commentaries and maybe even in the footnotes of the Bible that you have, they picture leprosy as revealed in the Bible, although it did include several things. Yet it was is revealed as a dreaded disease, as the leprosy that we know of. For if you look in the book of Numbers chapter 12, I'll read it to you right quick, and I believe it's verse 12. In the incident of Miriam, listen to the word of Aaron. He said this about her, "Let her not be as one dead." Now if this was just simply psoriasis, I don't know if anybody ever dies of psoriasis or some type of scaly skin, which is what some of the commentators say, I don't believe that Aaron would have referred to her as being one who was as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed. And so obviously Aaron knew enough about leprosy at that point to know that when you got it, it ultimately was going to consume your flesh. And we know that to be true today of the disease of leprosy, half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And so we learn some things from that. Why did she get the leprosy? She was stricken of God. She was smitten of God. Why? Because of some sin that she committed. Now, we know that don't happen to every one of us, but it emphatically reminds us of the fact that leprosy is a picture of sin. Amen. And they go hand in hand. We go on in the Old Testament. We find that the man Elisha had a servant named Gehazi. 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a great man of Israel, a captain of Syria, a captain of the host named Naaman. And he was a great man, but he was a leper, the Bible says. Had a little servant girl, said, "Hey, Captain Naaman, I want to tell you something. There's a man of God down there in Israel, and if you'll go down there, you can be healed of that leprosy." He went down there, and you know the story that Elisha told him to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan, and after some bickering about that, he finally did it. And the Bible said when he came up, his flesh was just like that of a baby. And so happy as anybody would be after being healed from a dreaded disease like that, he ran to Elisha and said, "What you want?" He offered him all kind of things. Said, "Ain't nothing. You can't buy what you got, old boy." So he took off with his host. Gehazi, Elijah's servant, because he liked kind of the things that was offered, took after Naaman. He said, "Naaman, my boss changed his mind. The prophet changed his mind. He will take a little bit of that stuff you've got with you there." And so he took it and he went back. And Elisha says, "Where you been, Gehazi?" And of course, he kind of dibble-dabbled around. But the result was Gehazi became a leper. What? He was smitten for the sin that he committed. And so we see that thought again that the children of Israel had when it came to leprosy. Somebody who had been smitten and struck by God. We think also of Uzziah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he begins this way, "In the year that good King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, what happened to Uzziah? He was a good king. He was a good man, but one day he got lifted up in himself, and he went into the temple in the holy place where he had no business. He wasn't a priest. He was a king. The priest said, "No, hey, no, you don't belong in here. You better get out." Puffed up with himself, he took a censer and went in there to burn incense. Said, "I can do what I want to do. I'm the king." He broke out in leprosy in his forehead, just like what we read here. And so we see demonstrated in the Bible the idea that sin and leprosy go together, that one is a picture of the other, amen, in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. Now, let's get to what we just talked about here in a brief way. First of all, let's talk about the checking for leprosy. Whenever a malady appeared in the body, some type of sore or a wound of some kind, then it was time for a checkup. And now what we do when we see something ain't right, or we should, we'll go to the doctor and we'll get a checkup. Say, "Hey, doc, what in the world is this?" Well, that's what the individual did. They didn't go to the physician. Where'd they go? They went to the priest. They went to the priest. And so that's why this chapter begins, that God's talking to Moses and Aaron because he is the priest. And so we see a verification of the leprosy, if you will. It is a priestly work. It is a priestly work. Now, we see the same picture in the resurrected Lord Jesus. If you read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we see him standing there in chapter 1 in the midst of the golden candlesticks, which he says are the 7 churches of Asia. And the Bible describes him as having a long garment all the way down to the foot. It's a priestly garment. And the Bible points out that he has eyes as a flame of fire. Now, what does that mean? That means that he has eyes of the discernment or judgment to be able to see everything and to know everything, and therefore to judge everything. And so he begins with every one of those churches, and he says, "I know thy works. I know thy works." And to most of them, he concludes saying this, "Repent or else." And so what's he doing? He's doing there a work of judging his people. Now, that hadn't changed today. We still are chastened of the Lord, judged of God, if we're not willing to do it ourselves by the word of God. And so it was a priestly work. Nobody had the authority to declare a sore or some type of outbreak in a man's body as being clean or unclean except for the priest. All right? Whenever he looked at it, we found that he would verify different varieties, if you will, of leprosy. 3 that we noticed here, we saw that one which was called a rising, When we used to kid, we used to get those things we call rising, similar to a boil, if you will, a scab, some type of a sore, or simply a bright spot that seemed to be coming up there on the skin. And so the priest would look at those things, and by the descriptions that God gives him here in the Word, he would determine whether or not that was of such a nature to be leprosy and to render this individual unclean. Not only unclean socially, not only unclean hygienically, but also unclean as far as ceremonial appearance before Almighty God. Now, we see that leprosy appeared in this chapter in the human, and we saw that it appeared in the garment. Now, when we get to chapter number 14, in verses 34 through 55, we're going to find that leprosy also appeared in the houses. A house could be declared unclean because of an outbreak that was in the house. Now, I don't know what that was. If that was some type of mildew, something that carried disease, obviously it was something that spread. I don't know, and I'm not even going to try to guess. But I do know this, that it was of sufficient degree that garment had to be destroyed. It was dangerous enough that house had to be destroyed in God's eyes and by God's directive. And so I'm not going to try to figure out what it was, but God saw it to be dangerous enough that it is termed under this term leprosy or a plague. And so it could break out quite a bit. Now, I don't know what all went on over there in their climate and everything they experienced, but I'll just take God's word for it. We don't have to discern those things quite so much today because all of it points toward what? Sin. Neighbor, you can have sin in your body. You can have sin in your garments. You can have sin in your house. And so I think it's very applicable whenever you relate it with relationship to what sin is in our lives. And so it was a priestly work, one who checked for the leprosy in the individual. But let's breeze through here for a moment now, and let's talk about the characteristics of leprosy. One of the missionaries we support, if you don't read his letters and look at the pictures that he sends, you're missing a great blessing. If you've never seen his slides or heard him speak, you're missing a very moving experience. A man whose ministry started in Korea. When he went to preach over there, was offered an invitation to go preach. And while he was preaching, these two individuals crawled up on their hands and knees and commenced to rubbing his feet because it was cold. He didn't know what was going on. Anyway, he was invited to go preach to these lepers. And then ultimately his ministry began to be a ministry to lepers who lived under bridges. By the way, over in that part of the country, the suggestion is that when one gets infected with leprosy, that they bury themselves literally alive because they have no hope in life. And so it's a great tragedy. But he preaches to them, and he beholds the things that happen to them and offers them hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and a place to stay when they have none. And so leprosy, being a type of sin, carries some of its very same traits. You see, we found out about inherent sin in chapter 12 when we are born of sinful parents, and all of us have been. That sin is resident, inherent within our heart, within our soul. But whenever something is resident within us, it's just a matter of time before it breaks out. Now, society today says that man is progressively getting better and better. But I want to tell you, experience tells us the exact opposite is true. Amen. I mean, we hear what Brother Hunter was talking about in the great miraculous technology we have, the things that we're able to actually go into a mother's womb and do a bone marrow transplant and things like that, how much technology we have. But yet, on the other hand, we see that man has not climbed the ladder of morality or spirituality any higher than he ever has before. Matter of fact, he's going backwards. And so the experience teaches us that man is not progressively getting better. He progressively gets worse. He comes into the world as an innocent child. And he reaches a point in life where rather than growing and getting better and more intelligent, he begins to get worse, unless he's got some influence in his life to help hold it in check, and that's very, very difficult. I saw a picture of a young child one time. It was a beautiful young boy. Any mom or any daddy ought to be proud of. That young child was Adolf Hitler, and I looked at him and I said, my God, what sin could do to someone that was so beautiful, so innocent when he came into this world? Neighbor, that's the way sin is. We're not getting progressively better, we're getting worse. And so, some of the characteristics of leprosy and sin are this. Number one, they're internal. You notice, as we read through here, part of the judgment or the verification of the plague of leprosy was this. It seemed to reside beneath the skin. If it appeared to be on the top or around there, the priest would shut him up. He'd take a look at that thing after 7 days, and if it began to scab over, and it was obvious that it was a sore on the top of the skin that was beginning to scab over and go through the process of healing, then he could be declared clean. But if that thing was down below the skin, in other words, it was internal, then he was declared unclean after being shut up and examined for 14 days. And so leprosy was something that didn't begin on the surface. It began on the inside, just like our sin does. How in the book of Romans, chapter 7, and verse number 18, Paul said this, that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Amen. He knew that there was enough sin in his body to cause him to do anything that any other heathen in this world would do. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 9, last verse of that chapter, he said, therefore I keep my body under control. He knew why. He could not depend upon the flesh. He knew that neighbor sin was residing beneath his skin. He had an internal problem. Now, Jesus taught that, and that was so contrary to the concept of so many of the Jews in Matthew 15, talking about sin and sinful acts in Matthew 15, verse 19. Listen to what he said. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand don't defile a man. And here's what he's saying. Fornication, adultery, thievery begins in a man's heart. So Jesus said, you've heard it said from them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I'm going to tell you, a man looks on a woman lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. What's he saying? Adultery doesn't originate on the outside. Where does it originate? It originated on the inside. It originates with the thought. A thievery doesn't begin on the outside. It begins with the thought, with the conniving of a plan. Hey, I can get something for nothing if I just move and maneuver myself just right in there. Well, that's the way leprosy was. It began on the inside, but it began to break out on the outside. Amen. And it took the judgment of the priest to identify it. And that's just the way that sin is. Not only is it internal, but leprosy also is hereditary. When we saw Brother Tommy last time, he showed us some slides, and he showed us this lady who was a leper. And he showed a little child, if I remember right, it was a little girl. Pretty little girl. But then he closed by talking about her by this, by saying, but she has been diagnosed a leper also. Because when the lepers have a child, they are infected with leprosy. We see babies today that are born with AIDS. Addicted to drugs. All kind of things that they got from their mother or their father. And so leprosy was not only just contagious in its natural state, but also it was hereditary. It was inherited from mother or father, received from parents in birth. So that's just the way sin is, neighbor. You know, I got it from mom and daddy. I can't blame mom and daddy because they got somebody to blame on their own. And it goes all the way back up the family tree, does it not? Amen. But I want to tell you, thank God there's something to be done about it. It'd be a shame if there wasn't something to do about it, but thank God there is. Amen. But not only that, leprosy was identifiable. You notice looking in there, you look for a red spot, look for a dark spot, you look for white hair. In one case, you look for yellow hair. Huh? So leprosy had its identity.
fine marks.
Amen. It could be identified. It could be diagnosed. When you went to Aaron or one of his sons or the priest, there were certain things he looked for, and he could diagnose it and say, hey, that's leprosy. Why? Because the Lord gave me the identifying marks of it. Amen. Well, that's the way sin is. All I got to do to find the identifying marks of sin, go right here to this book. Why do you think the world hates this book? You think anybody in their right mind would hate the verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Of course not. And you could quote that all day to people, but man, don't try to tell them, and I'm talking about church folk, don't try to tell them that there's such a thing as sin and that God identifies it. When God identifies it, what? You ought to do something about it. Amen. Now that upsets folk. Now, like I told you, this was a priestly work. You don't go to the physician with this. You go to the priest. You don't go to the doctor down there with your sin. Amen. Psychiatrist can't help with sin. He can help with a real mental problem. A lot of folks' problem is just simply wickedness and sin. We fail to realize today that man can be tremendously wicked and depraved. And so, well, it's his environment, or he's got some type of disease. No, many, my friend, are just consumed and eat up with sin. The only one that can help, that's God. And my friend, this Bible tells us what's right and what is wrong. And that's why we ought to read it. That's why we ought to love it. That's why we ought to listen to it. That's why we ought to obey it. That's what makes us different in this world. Amen. It's identifiable. I'm so glad. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm a lot different person than I used to be. Boy, I still got a lot of problems. But I want to tell you something. I have never had a problem whenever thus saith the Lord has said something. I may not have kept it perfect, and I may have stumbled at times, but honey, I never said that. I ain't nothing to that, and I ain't going to do that. And I know it says that, but I ain't doing it. Honey, I ain't going to be found saying that. I may say, boy, I sure am weak at keeping that, and I sure am sorry, and I'm a miserable example. But I'll never say that God didn't mean what he said or that we ought not try to do it. Amen. Why? God identifies what's right and what's wrong. He does it in our bodies. He does it in our clothing. He does it in our house. And so we ought to pay attention to it. It's identifiable, and it is God giving this, not Moses, not Aaron. It is the Lord God of heaven. Well, I'm going one day, and you're going today if you're saved. Amen. But not only was it identifiable, but at the same time, leprosy was very deceptive. That's why it took a priest. If anybody could identify, then he wouldn't have to go to the priest. But it was very deceptive. Why? It could be camouflaged in innocent things. And so God said, hey, you know, if a man's hair is falling out, don't mean he's a leper, he's just bald. And if he's got a receding hairline, he hasn't got leprosy because that hair's falling out. He's just forehead bald. Thank God he's still clean. But he said that leprosy could hide in a man's beard or his hair or a woman's hair. You know what he's talking? You know what he said? And so leprosy had a way of looking like something innocent and also by camouflaging itself and hiding in certain ways. Well, that's exactly the way that sin is in a man's life. Jeremiah 17:9 says, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That word desperately means incurably wicked. Incurably wicked. Deceptive. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will tell you something's all right when it's not right. But if it's not right, the Word of God won't deceive you. It'll tell you it's right or it'll tell you it's wrong. Amen. And so leprosy was very deceptive. I mean, you know, God said, hey, that's not leprosy. That's a freckle. Isn't that right? We read about the freckle in there. I know that makes a lot of folks happy too. And so that's the way sin is. Satan showed up in the form of a serpent, probably one of the most beautiful creatures after God's creation. Used that serpent. And what was his first move? Deception. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Age-old snare of the devil, casting doubt upon the word of God. And so leprosy was also very deceptive, and it took the keen eye of a taught, inspired priest to identify exactly what it was. Oh, God forbid. Well, not only was it deceptive, but leprosy also defiled. What did it do? It separated one from the Holy One of Israel. He could not go into the tabernacle. He could not touch any hallowed or holy thing. He could not approach in any way. Neighbor, that's what the Lord Jesus did for you and I. Neighbor, he became defiled. 2 Corinthians 5 in the last verse says, He hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so he was cut off from God in six hours that he hung on that cross. For you and I, that we in turn might be united with him forever. Neighbor, I want to tell you, Isaiah 59 verse 2 said this, say, your sins have separated you and your God. Your sins have come between you and your God. What cuts us off from God? Sin. What else does it? Nothing. Sin cuts us off from God. So what the devil not want us to preach on or to expose? What sin is? He wants us to preach everybody's lovely, everybody's good, everybody's happy, everybody's healthy, everybody's holy. But God forbid that we preach on sin, the very thing that cuts people off from sin. And you can be just as distant from God sitting in a church pew, and many people are, as you could be in the midst of the Vatican, in the midst of Jerusalem. Amen. Or down on the beach, or in a casino, or in a bar room. You can be just as cut off sitting on a church pew. Why? If sin has separated between you and your God, it is defiling. But not only that, leprosy is progressive. It begins small, but it spreads. It begins minute, but before it's over, it affects the whole body. Now, Paul knew that. Jesus knew that. In 1 Corinthians 5, when there was a man there who was living in open fornication in that church, and since nobody there was a preaching on sin, and that place was becoming contaminated, Apostle Paul said this. He said, put that man out. He said, don't you understand that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? That just as leprosy begins small, it eventually will affect the whole body. That if sin is allowed to remain in a church, that eventually it will corrupt and affect the whole body. Amen. And so, neighbor, it comes down to this. Sometimes there has to be an amputation. Sometimes there has to be some spiritual surgery to cut things out. Now, I declare, I mean, there ain't many of us here tonight, and I'd love to have 1,000 people, but I don't want that bunch out there that ain't got nothing for God to come in here just because I got some kind of cake or cookie or ice cream to offer them or anything else, some kind of entertainment. I don't want them in here. Why? They're not going to get up and deal with sin, bless your heart. Instead, they're going to try to corrupt you and get rid of everything that will expose anything that God hates. And that's always the ultimate result, amen. You see it not only through biblical history, you can see it through church history and the revivals that have had to be brought up because of the progressive work of sin, just like that leprosy goes throughout all of that body. That little girl had that leprosy in her. It hadn't shown up outside her body yet. But before it was over with, she looked just like her poor old mother. The entire body is described in Isaiah chapter 1, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot. But not only is leprosy and sin progressive, but leprosy also numbs. It has a numbing effect. Why? It destroys nerve endings in the body. Brother Tommy told us this. That sin will progressively work through a body and through a limb where it originates and will destroy the nerve endings. And you look at those poor people and say, my God, what pain and agony they must be in. And he said, no. He said, they can't feel anything. That whole arm can be just raw and eat up with it, but they can't feel it. Why? The nerve endings have been destroyed, and therefore it's literally numb. And he said, they will be walking along, and he said, literally, their arm will drop off of their body. And you who have seen the slides know that, and you've heard him say that. Why? I mean, how horrible, but It has a numbing effect of destroying the nerve endings in the body. And so just as leprosy has that numbing effect in the body, so sin has the ability to produce insensitivity in the life of an individual. I saw a statistic on the news before we left. If you watch the world news tonight or whatever it is, they said that the displaying of sexual insinuation and display on TV had quadrupled in the last 15, I don't know, what was it, 20 years? Quadrupled. Now, how did that happen? How did we go from Ozzy and Harriet, and I know people make fun of that, in the 50s, to Married with Children in the 90s? How did we go from I Love Lucy in the 50s to the HBO of the 90s to the NYPD Blue and things? I won't tell you why. We progressively, amen. There's 40 years between 1955 and 1995. It happened progressively, and progressively people got numb. They got numb. And so that which would have caused a raging anger to flow up in their face in 1950 is accepted in 1990 because we've gotten numb. We've gotten used to people cursing on TV. We've gotten used to people taking their clothes off. And it doesn't grieve us anymore. It doesn't hurt us anymore. And nobody cries out anymore. And Hollywood says, well, that's what the people want. They were the ones who said they would keep the family hour open, and they lied. Always have. Sin has a numbing effect, neighbor. That's right, and I won't tell you. So unless you read your Bible, or unless you have a preacher, somebody remind you every now and then what sin is and what it will do to you, then, neighbor, you will get cold and numb, and things won't bother you anymore. And so we got a lot of people sitting in church pews today, in churches, that do nothing bother them anymore. They just like being a part of a social club and a good time, good feel religion, and nothing bothers them anymore. Let's sing, let's just shout, let's just have a good time, but let's don't talk about sin, you know? That, you see, and how many times has this been said about me, you know, Donnie Murphy, you're old-fashioned. You're old-fashioned. Amen. You see, when I was young, they said that you were young. I was young and I had no tact. Now that I'm old, I'm old-fashioned. For long, I'll be dead. Don't know what they'll say then. Don't really matter, does it? What am I saying? I'm saying that leprosy and sin have a numbing effect in our lives. Also, both of them are incurable. There was no cure for leprosy. There was something that could be done for cleansing. We'll get into that next chapter. Don't get ahead of myself. If a person was cured of the leprosy. But the problem is this. There was no cure. There was no cure for leprosy. There's only one way anybody got over it. How was that? It took a miracle from God. Naaman, the leper that Jesus healed, took a miracle. It took a touch from God to deal with that leprosy. No medicine, no cure. So it is with sin. You can reform a man. You can educate a man. But you'll never get the sin out of a man's heart until he gets the sin bearer in there. It's incurable. And so, in the midst of all of our technology and progressive education in this world, we still have more crime than any age, more depravity, more perversion. I mean, it ain't changed not one bit. We ain't evolving. We're evolving and progressively devolving. That's what's happening to us. Amen. It's incurable. It takes a new birth. Amen. Born from a leprous womb, I need to be born again. Pure and white as snow. Not only are they incurable, but they both end in death. That's right. Just as one today we think contracting the HIV virus is one who is sentenced to death and will eventually die of that disease, so it was with leprosy, with those who contracted the disease back in these days and in the days of Jesus.
It ultimately destroyed them. It ultimately killed them. You saw the words of Aaron when he talked about Miriam. Don't let her be like one who is dead. One who is dead. Amen. It produces death. Now, James, he talked about that element of sin in James chapter 1. Listen. How did it operate? James 1 and verse number 13. He said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Leprosy and sin are incurable without a touch from a miracle-working God. Isaiah 53 said, "He hath borne our sins and our sorrow. He bore our iniquities." And neighbor, that transforming power of God changes an individual into a new creature, wherein old things have passed away and all things have become new. Amen. And that element of sin no longer has the power it once had in his life. Amen. And though they lay this leprosy contaminated, sin contaminated body in a 6-foot hole, God's got another pure, incorruptible body for I who dwell in this present house to dwell in forever. And I will never experience death. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believes on me," he said, "he shall never die." Amen. Thank God for that. All right. There are other comparisons we could make, but time cuts us short. You get the general idea, don't you? Well, let's point out for just a moment here the consequences of leprosy. The consequences of leprosy. When one is smitten, when one is considered smitten of God, as the word implies, leprosy, then there is obviously a price to be paid. When you die, you're not a dog. You're not like a dog. You're not going to be planted in the ground. That's the end of you. You're going to go on.